Welcome to another exciting episode of the Business of Digital podcast, featuring your hosts, Matt Siltala and Dave Rohr. Hey guys, excited to be here with you today. How's it going, Dave?
It is going, sir.
Awesome. So we got a fun one for you guys. You're going to love this one today. We're going to get really nerdy on you. Well, Dave is anyway.
Somewhat
nerdy. No, this is a good one. I think it's a good time, like we were just talking about, it's a good time to get into this and discuss it. We want to make sure things are done right. After all, this is a digital marketing blog. There's a lot of stuff that we talk about that's related to just different technical things regarding SEO or just technical with sites in general. And so what we wanted to jump into today, guys, is a guide to sitemap XML files. And so
it might be overstating what we actually end up talking about, but
which is, you know, par for the course.
That is the goal, is to kind of create something of a guide. We'll see.
So, you know, and if it doesn't happen, it's on you then, Dave.
It totally is on me, because I didn't know what to call it. And then I posted that and Matt was like, all right, you're the one talking. I'm like, no.
So this came from
no pressure, Dave.
Yeah, no pressure. But so this came from an article that you read on Search Engine Roundtable or something that John.
SE Roundtable. Barry's going to come find you.
Yeah, that's all right. He can come all the way to Phoenix if he wants. But SE Roundtable, I guess.
And it's based on a Reddit comment from Mr. John Mueller. Some of the things that I initially saw,
who we love, by the way,
John, where I think it's actually Barry adding it, so I'm not sure. But the actual quote from John Mueller is regarding XML sitemaps was to automate it on your back end. Generate the files based on your local database. That way you can ping sitemap files immediately when something changes. Don't crawl your own site. Google already does that. For many projects, clients, CMSs, it doesn't always work that smoothly though, the back end systems. And that's my big problem with this recommendation. And if you didn't catch our recent episode where we talked about how best practices aren't always best practices, there's many times where I will do an audit and I will work with a client in the past where using the CMS's built in or the plugin and extender.
Oh geez, yeah.
That, you know, because it doesn't come default. And that's the other thing that's interesting is that in this day and age, WordPress is used by what, over 50% of the internets?
Yeah.
Or the CMSs, depending on which number you look at. By default, it does not have a sitemap.xml creator. So think about that.
Interesting.
Google's telling you don't crawl your own site. WordPress, one of the largest used, most frequently used across the web, CMSs does not come built with one in. Like, there is no way for it to do it. You have to use a Yoast or some other type of plugin. There's a Google XML sitemap builder plugin. Yoast does it. I think the newer one, Rank Math, does it, and it lets you control. Some of them give you a lot of control, some of them don't. And the number of times where that built-in or that plugin creates a sitemap based on your local database, how often do we not want pages that are in that local database to show up in that sitemap? A lot. Mm. Like most recently, for my conferencepopup.com site, did not realize that when I flipped on, you know, the XML sitemap thing and went about my business, that it was plugging in, creating pages based on things that were not pages to me. And so let me step back a second. So for every session that would happen during a conference day, I had to create basically in the back end of WordPress, like not a post, but it was kind of a post. It's just a different type.
Just so I had some, or go ahead, sorry.
Well, so like each author or each speaker had their own quote unquote page.
I'm with you now.
Okay, yeah. So in the back end, each fragment or, you know, whatever it was a custom post type, had to have quote unquote a URL in the database so that knew what to pull and, you know, whatever. There's no links to it on the page. But when you do in the sitemap, if you don't know or if you don't look or you don't have that level of granular control, I didn't realize that all these different custom product page types were actually being dropped into the sitemap. I had blocked, you know, the date archives and the author archives and stuff like that, but I didn't realize that all these other custom ones were being dropped in there, or that they're even creating URLs that were any way crawlable.
That's super interesting how that, that's just very interesting to me.
And if you have an e-commerce site and you have all sorts of different faceted navigation, there is no, those URLs are not even in your database.
Yeah.
There's a category page, but there's no other way to build those other than by literally crawling the site.
Which is what he says not to
do. Not to do, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was what got me thinking about the number of times where there was literally no other way. And I pinged a friend of mine and former, client that we'd worked on a project with. And I won't throw the CMS under the bus now. I thought about it and I confirmed with them that I knew which one it was, but I will not throw it under the bus. We spent 9 months of deprioritizing the ability to make a sitemap on the back end because out of the box, that CMS kind of had one, but it was broken. Cool. So it took us 9 months to be able to prioritize and get them to fix it, because each time they fixed it, it was wrong.
Jeez.
And all it was doing was it was creating a sitemap on the product side or the production level that was pulling the staging URLs. For 9 months, we basically had to suck it up and didn't have one.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Well, especially when you were changing lots of URLs and we did a site redesign.
Yeah.
And a URL change. So we actually built it with the sites and the pages we knew about and made sure that, one, we weren't including pages that were redirecting, because that'll get you in trouble with Bing much quicker than it will with Google, at least it had in the past. Google has a threshold of you can throw all sorts of junk into your sitemap. I don't know what that threshold is for Bing anymore. I haven't tested it lately. But I know Dwayne at one point, and there were some other people that actually came out and said that, you know, Bing's threshold for junk in that file is very, very low. Like, they expect it to be clean and optimized. So if you're throwing stuff in there that redirects because it's in your back end, but you've actually changed stuff, you know, or you haven't updated it because you killed off your plugin or something like that, you're asking for problems.
Interesting.
And I also thought it was interesting that, and I think it was Barry, but just the idea that the number of CMSs that come with an XML sitemap solution built in is large, and it's not actually. So I already talked about WordPress, and I have like all sorts of tabs open. and I'll give you links to all of them too.
I know, I was going to say, you have quite a list of sites here in our notes. I don't know.
I dropped a whole bunch.
What you were wanting to talk about with all them.
You know, Matt was like, holy cow. I'm like, you don't have to read them all. Don't worry. it's just for the notes for when we push this live that we have them all there. You know, like there was an article on WP Beginner and it talks about sitemaps, and it recommends Yoast, and it says the Google XML sitemaps, which I've also used in the past. Both of them work, even today. So, you know, out of the box, again, WordPress doesn't have one. You have to install the plugin. All right, well, what about something else? Drupal. Drupal does not have one. You have to install an extension. And there's a number of extensions in the directory, but again, Drupal isn't used by at all as much as WordPress, but I picked some of the top 5 or 10, depending on your source, CMSs that are out there. And by far, WordPress is the number one, does not have one by default. Joomla, one of the larger ASP, I think it's if not the largest ASP kind of based CMS, does not have one. So Joomla doesn't out of the box. Shopify does. And the one thing that I noticed is Wix, Squarespace, and Shopify, the all hosted, everything contained type of solutions, actually do out of the box. But personally, I don't know to the level of control that you'll get with all of those. So if there's internal pages, I think there's usually like a little button or a switch so you can hide stuff, but that's at a very manual level. And I think at the page level. So whatever CMS you're on or looking at, you really have to look into the FAQs.
It'd be neat to, if any listeners are, you know, if anyone that's listening to this one specifically works with one of these, you know, like Shopify or Joomla or whatever, Wix, drop in some comments and give us some feedback on it.
If it makes you want to bang your head against the...
I'd love to know that. I mean...
Because depending on which one you use, I think it's Squarespace or Shopify that always has the collections. And what if you don't want, what if you've got multiple collections set up in weird ways? Like, do I have to, very, very manually, you have to control it. There is no easy way to control it. You have to go into each one and say, you know, hide this one. And you can do that in WordPress and stuff, but yeah, it's annoying. Sitefinity has one, but honestly, I don't love it. But the amount of control you get over it is very, yeah. Drupal is one that I was just working with recently. The amount of control you get, and it does kind of, I think it's out of the box, which is one of the few open source larger ones. But I don't know how much control you get out of it. You know what? Maybe it's not. Maybe it's not out of the box as I'm looking at it. Download and extend. Okay, yeah. So I correct myself. It is an extension module. So again, Drupal out of the box does not create XML sitemaps. So basically any open source or any main one does not create it.
So what would be your argument, how would you approach John and tell him, look, I respect you, you're wrong on this one, but here's the real world.
Oh no, he's right. I think it just depends.
Well, that's what I mean.
Like, for many sites, I think crawling your site and maintaining it is the worst possible thing to do. And I think it should be your last option.
But see, that's honestly what I'm saying. There's so many people that are in these scenarios that you're talking about. And if they hear that from him, it's going to confuse them. And so it's like, how do you go about getting, I don't know, the right information out to all
I don't disagree with him. I just think I wanted to kind of cover all of the options, as many options as I could in our 15 to 20 minutes. And walk people through what I think they should think about with their own. Because like I said, we spent 9 months with IT trying to get them to fix what should have been a built-in XML sitemap thing. And honestly, for some sites, you don't need it. If you go to my personal site, I don't have one. If you go to my agency site, I don't have one. My personal site is 15 or 20 pages, and my agency site is like 15, 20 pages. I don't have them. Yeah. Don't care.
Yeah.
You don't need it. I think I may even have it turned off.
What would you say is the threshold for needing one?
Large, complex sites. And I think that's the problem, is that the larger the site and the more complex it is, the more likely you do have to crawl, or you do have to come up with some sort of weird ad hoc XML sitemap system. Because I haven't done it lately, but for really large sites with really complex or really just millions of pages, we would actually create sitemaps in the past based on category levels or products or certain things. And it was like a mix of crawling the site, honestly, to understand what percentage was being indexed and what traffic was coming from and how, where were the errors, and was it right. a template issue? Was it a site issue? You know, was it just a content issue? We would use them a lot of times to help us debug or test things. And you can't do that without crawling or without doing some sort of export. But then, you know, it's a very manual process. The another interesting article was through, it's Wunli, yeah, over in Poland.
We'll have links to all these for you guys as well.
Yeah, I'll drop it. But it's a deep dive into Medium, which I guess technically is its own CMS.
Oh, Medium is?
Yeah.
I didn't know they qualified it as its own CMS.
They talk about it. Medium is number 152 in terms of popularity among content CMSs. But 2.4% of the most popular websites use it as a blog, especially large brands.
I know it ranks well, and I know it's beautiful for reputation management purposes.
It is, yes. But this was a deep dive into some of the problems their sitemaps have.
Interesting.
So, you know, even large CMSs and large sites can have these problems. And is there an easy answer? I think if you can, by all means, use the plugins. It saves so much time. When we had that 9 months of headaches, every month we would have to, if we wanted to, we would go through and just grab the URLs that had been posted on the blog, or if there was any other, you know, big changes, we would had to manually add it. And that's annoying. It is.
Yeah.
But I think in some cases, it's really the best way to go about it, or to build some sort of back-end system. But I think there's also diminishing returns for that. But I think it's a case-by-case basis. For what type of system? Is it out-of-the-box, default type of, you know, using just a plugin and letting it go? But if you do that, honestly, take a look. Let it produce it. Go and double-check and make sure that there's no, you know, download thank you pages in there. The number of times where I see those get in there, because people don't think that or don't know or aren't aware that when they're creating a thank you page or a download page in WordPress, if they don't tell it to hide it, so that email capture, that lead gen page now has the thank you page indexed on the sitemap in Google because someone didn't know that they had to click a little button to not make it show up in the sitemap.
There you guys go.
Because it's automagically done.
Very cool.
Yeah, I'm all about saving time, dev resources, being efficient. I think, weirdly, the XML sitemap, if you have a small site, just don't use it, is really my suggestion. Don't even use it. The larger your site is, the more you need to babysit it, because I think it actually tends to cause more problems than help, like a small to medium-sized site. From what I've seen, I just see more people cause problems that we have to then later fix than anything else.
There you go, guys.
So I guess this is a guide on how not to screw up your sitemap XML.
Told you it was going to be really nerdy. But
well, I didn't get too technical. I didn't say like what tools to scrape with and stuff, but
I mean, we talked about sitemaps the whole time.
Well, so here, because I don't want to just be like, I don't want it to sound like I'm venting or whining. The tip I would suggest when building a sitemap is, if you haven't done it, or if you're working on a new site or client site, or is treat it like a content audit. Go through, crawl the site, look at your analytics for the last year, and pull out every URL. You look at your Google Search Console for the last 16 months or a year. Pull out all of the URLs there, crawl the site. And you can do this in like Sitebulb, I think even OnCrawl and Jet Octopus and Sight, Screaming Frog, all of those will bring in like all sorts of different data and will show you where the overlap of things is. And you can even compare it to your current sitemap if you have one. But grab as much data as you can. And even if you can, export your whatever your CMS is, list of URLs. Compare them all together and look, then go through it and dig really deep into what pages should be in there, which ones shouldn't, which ones are missing, and then figure out a way to build it that one time or figure out where your solution is breaking down. Or if you really need it, you know, if your site's not that big, honestly, I say forgo it. At this, in this day and age, if you have a 20-page site, I don't understand why you really need to build one. I might be in a minority on that. I don't think so.
Well, but I'm sure the internets will let us know.
I'm sure someone will correct me. That is fine.
With that said, you guys got a whole lot of tips on that. Hopefully. Last final tip. It was a great insight.
If nothing else, look at your sitemap XML this week.
Exactly. All right. Well, there you guys go. Your guide to sitemap XML files. And so thank you very much, Dave, for all that information. And, you know, thank you guys for joining us. I appreciate the time that you spend with us and listening, you know, for 20 minutes plus on sitemaps. You guys are awesome. And so for Dave Rohr with Northside Metrics, I'm Matt Siltel with Avalanche Media. And we will look forward to having you guys on the next one. Bye, guys.
Thanks.